You know, I think one of the great things about community time for me as a pastor is I kind of feel like you all get the opportunity to listen to me for half an hour a week, but I got to say, I get very encouraged by what God's doing in you. I like to hear what God is up to amongst you. And so thank you for all those of you who shared this morning. That was a gift to me and helps fuel my fire that goes, yeah, God's working in other people's lives. Yay! So consider when you're coming to our service, this is something that you can serve the rest of us in by just telling us what is God up to in your life. I think there's probably way more stories out there that could be shared. Right? Yeah, there are, just not me. I know how it works. All right. Okay, so this morning's theme, everyone a faith trainer. I'm going to start this morning by talking. You probably heard the phrase famous last words, right? You've all heard that. Okay, so let's take a look at some famous last words as soon as we get our famous clicker to work. Our tech team is already on it. They're getting it down. For all those of you who are listening on the internet, I have no funny stories to fill up this time. Okay, here we go. So, you've probably heard of Oscar Wilde, humorist Oscar Wilde. He said his final words before he died were this: either that wallpaper goes or I do. I think you can figure out which went first. Author O. Henry said this. He said, "Turn up the lights. I don't want to go home in the dark." One of my favorite composers of all time is Beethoven. I love Beethoven stuff. And pretty good picture here of Beethoven. And he said, "I shall hear in heaven." For those of you who might not know, of course he couldn't hear. And this is what he looked forward to in going to heaven. Then there are these great stories of people who were martyred for their faith. And one of my favorites is Polycarp in the year 167. He was asked at one point to renounce his faith. Some of you have probably heard this story before. He had the opportunity to renounce his faith. And that's all he had to do is say, "You know, I abandoned this Jesus thing. I'm walking away." All he had to do. He'd have been fine. But this is what he said. And he was 86 years old at the time. He said, "86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me?" Final words. What a stand, eh? Man, that's going out in a blaze of glory, I'd say. So if you've ever spent time with people who were dying, chances are you remember a lot of what they said. I remember when I spent time with my dad. This is almost, I can barely remember what I did this morning. Come on now, I'm not the only one. And yet, 25 years ago, I remember the stuff that my dad said. The final words that he talked to me about. 25 years. There's something about final words that sort of sear into our brain. And it's almost like we pay attention more with final words because we know this is it. This is the important stuff. This is where people talk about where they hid their gold bullion, right? This is where people share their Wi-Fi password. It's the important stuff. So you listen very carefully. Well, Jesus was no exception to this. And he said some very famous last words as well. And he told us this, that we are to make relationships intentional. You have probably heard of the Great Commission. How many of you have heard of the Great Commission? Probably most of you have. And if you haven't, that's all right. If you are new to Christianity, if you are new to this church, you've never heard of the Great Commission, I just want you to know you are welcome here. I'm hoping that you'll get lots out of this message as well. The most famous saying that Jesus had as his last words was the Great Commission found in the end of Matthew. And people quite often ask me, why do Christians always feel like they need to share their faith? Why is it that they just can't leave us alone? They got to go out there and tell everyone about their faith. Well, we really have to blame Jesus for this one. Because this was his idea. This is what he said at the end of Matthew. He said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus told his disciples, one of the final things he said, famous last words, he said, go and make disciples. And he started off by saying, all authority is mine. Now I'm passing authority to you to go and evangelize. Go and make disciples. His vision was that every one of his followers would be a faith trainer. That was what he wanted. Now, you might be surprised that this is not the only time Jesus said this. Did you know that the Great Commission was recorded in various ways throughout each of the Gospels? Here, let's move on to Mark. At the end, if you turn to the last chapter of Mark, you will find Jesus saying this. And then Jesus told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Does this sound familiar? Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Notice, again, he says, go. You can't sit still in this Christian thing. If you're going to be a follower of me, you got to go. And you'll notice that he says that the difference between those who are condemned and those who are saved is not how many times you went to church, or how many verses you memorized, or how much of the Bible you read. What is it? It's belief. Right there, Jesus says, this is the good news. This is the gospel. It is based in faith. But Matthew and Mark weren't the only ones to record the Great Commission. Luke also recorded at the end of Luke. Get this. This is really cool. Luke 24. It was written long ago, this is Jesus speaking again, that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name, there's that again, to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And then he does something that just astounded me when I was preparing for this message. He gives us the gospel message in 9 words. He sums it up for us in this. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Now, if you don't consider yourself an evangelist, and I don't consider myself a very good evangelist, and you often get tongue-tied, can you remember 9 words? Because this is the gospel in 9 words. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. That's it. Let's say it together. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Let's do it again. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. There you go. That's all you need to know. And he said, get out of here and go do it. And here's the exciting thing. Do you notice who this is applicable to? There's forgiveness of sins for how many who repent? All. That means every person that you and I lock eyes with this week, the gospel message is for them. It applies to them. It is open to them. Isn't that good news? It's part of the good news, right? It's open to anyone. I can tell you're excited about this. But it wasn't just Matthew, Mark, and Luke who recorded the Great Commission. Did you know that John also recorded it? Watch this. Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Did you notice he said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. That's my purpose. And he says, as the Father sent me to do this job, now I'm sending you to do that job. This is our work. This is what we do. We are to seek and save those who are lost. This is our purpose. But it wasn't just the gospel writers who recorded the Great Commission. Luke records it again in the beginning of Acts. Watch this. You will receive power. This is Jesus speaking once again. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I'm so glad that Jesus worded it this way, because I would be way more intimidated if he said, and you will be my experts. You will be the answers to all questions. Notice he did not say that, which is great for me, because I don't know about you, I don't have all the answers to all the questions. Maybe you do, good, I don't. All he said was, you will be my witnesses. What does a witness do? They just talk about what they saw, what they experienced. That's it. That's all Jesus expects from you. He doesn't expect you to have a degree, expect you to have all the answers. He just asks us to be witnesses. That's all. We all have stories about how God has changed our lives. And then he says, and this starts in Jerusalem and spreads to all over the earth, including Nanaimo, BC. My vision, this series that we're in is about my vision, but I think it's more about God's vision for any church. Last Sunday, I talked about everyone a servant. This is what God wants for every one of us. This week, we're talking about everyone a faith trainer. And unfortunately, the church over the years has split this, the Great Commission, into two separate parts. There's discipleship and there's evangelism. And we kind of keep them separate. And it's almost been a war between discipleship and evangelism. Discipleship, for those of you, this is a nice fancy term. Discipleship means helping people who are already believers grow in their faith. And evangelism is about people helping people who don't know Jesus yet to know him. And when I look at the Great Commission, the answer to the question, so which is the Great Commission? Is it about discipleship or evangelism? Which is it? Thank you. It's about both. It's about both. You can't really separate them out like that. We are to be in the game with both. Jesus talked about go and make disciples, and then he talks about teaching them. There's both. Got to have both. And it's really, fulfilling the Great Commission is simply moving people closer to Jesus. Doesn't matter where they start. If everyone was on a continuum of about 10 feet wide, okay? I'm using old terms here, 10 feet wide, okay? That's like, what is that, 2-point-something meters? I don't know. 3-something? Anyway. No one hired me for my math skills, okay? So if everyone's on a continuum, everywhere on this end are people who are the farthest away from God you could possibly be. And way over on this end are the people who are as close as humanly possible you can be. Any effort that God uses you to move people 1 inch in that direction is fulfilling the Great Commission. Understand? You understand what I'm saying, right? So it doesn't matter if you're talking to your atheist brother. It doesn't matter if you're talking about your saintly mother. Anytime God uses you to move them closer to in a relationship with Christ is fulfilling the Great Commission. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Now, all that I've told you so far is old. You're probably sitting, Pastor, I have heard this message 1,000 times. Especially my family are sitting there going, I've heard this message 1,000 times. There's nothing new in what I just told you, and you're probably bored to tears. The thing is, though, and let's all acknowledge it, we all know about the Great Commission, but very few of us actually do it. Why is that? Well, I gotta say that sometimes people in my position are a little at fault. Because we make it sound like in order to fulfill the Great Commission, you know, if you really want to be a disciple maker, you have to be like me. You got to be the pastor type. You know what I'm saying? Or at the very least, I guess if you could lower yourself down, maybe a Sunday school teacher or a small group leader or something, I guess. And so we get pretty intimidated. If that's what it takes to fulfill the Great Commission, then it's out of the reach of 95% of people who follow Jesus. However, I believe fulfilling the Great Commission can be done by anyone. And it doesn't have to be in some kind of formal setting either. So there's a couple things that I want you to consider doing. But before I get to that, I just want you to know this. And I need you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say, church. Okay? To have everyone's attention. God will love you even if you do not fulfill the Great Commission. I'm not seeing a lot of heads nodding on that one. God will love you even if you do not fulfill the Great Commission. God will love you. Because His love for us is not based on our performance. Amen? And you also need to know this. If you do take it upon yourself to have God use you to fulfill the Great Commission, God will not love you more. I can tell there's processing going on right now. People are going to be flipping through their Bibles after this. What? Did you hear what the pastor said? God's not going to love me more if I don't fulfill the Great Commission. It's true. Because God's love for you is not based on your performance. You know how many years it took me to figure that out? I thought for sure I could gain more of God's love. If I just shaped up, if I just avoided more sin, if I just did everything that that book said, God would love me more. Boy, was I surprised to find out that's not the case. And boy, am I overwhelmed at how much God loves me and how much God loves you. That was a side sermon. Let's get back. So what can we do? We can try this. Become a mentor. This can be formal or informal, and it always requires relationship. It always requires taking an interest. You don't have to be experts, you just have to be a witness. What have you seen? What have you experienced? This is how Paul described this to Timothy. He said these words, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." In other words, he said, teach what you know. What did you hear? That's all that's required. Just pass it along. I had this wonderful lady in my last church. And Miriam, this is a shout out to you because you're probably listening to this on the internet. Miriam was a senior citizen. She decided she was going to lead a small group. But I think she felt very unqualified, as most of us do, in leading a small group. So what she'd do is she'd take my sermon, she'd listen to it two or three times, take notes, and then she'd make questions based on those notes. And that was the basis for her entire small group. What did she do? She just took what she heard and passed it along and said, let's actually apply what we're learning. That's all. And Paul told Timothy, this is what you do. Become a mentor to people. Pass along what you know. And it could be one person, it could be five people, it could be 10 people. Maybe God will use you to be a mentor to many, many people. And here's the wonderful thing. When I look at this church, I see a lot of senior citizens, and I got to tell you, that is an incredible blessing to us. Because senior citizens have often walked with God longer than the rest of us have been alive. And they're not the types that are going to go off on some, you know, the newest Christian fad, whatever it is, because they've seen it all. They've been there, done that. And God has walked with them through many things. And we younger people, and I'm going to include myself in that if I can. Is that okay, Mark? I'm one of those younger people, right? He's not sure if he's going to let me get away with that. Okay, younger than a senior citizen anyway. We have a lot to learn from them. And I think what a great opportunity for us to be mentored by them. Don't you think? I mean, I have met with some senior citizens in the last 2 weeks who are passionate about their faith, passionate about prayer, passionate about reaching the lost. I have stuff to learn from them. Because I'll tell you something, I want to finish my life the way they're finishing theirs. Strong, filled with faith. I don't know about you. A lot to learn there. So be a mentor. If you are a younger person, find a mentor. Ask someone to be your mentor. And the second thing that we can do is share your faith story. Every follower of Jesus has a faith story. It may not be fancy. It may not be dramatic. I remember one time I was at summer camp. And as often happens in summer camps, they brought this guy in to give his testimony. That's what we say in Christian circles, right? Give your testimony. For those of you who are not in Christian circles, that means tell how you got to know Jesus. Okay? I have to decode things. But anyway, he came in and he gave his testimony. It was one of those testimonies that was just so kind of typical. In the sense that it was one of those remarkable stories. Oh, I went off the rails and I had sex with all these people and I did drugs and I messed up and robbed stores and whatever. And then I came to Jesus and everything turned around. Marvelous stories. Those are glorious stories, are they not? They're inspiring. They're also terribly intimidating. Because I think, my story is nothing like that. I don't know about you. I mean, I didn't rob a liquor store. Maybe I missed out. But they're terribly intimidating stories. And I remember, I sat down with him. I remember this so clearly. I sat down with him afterwards and I said, you know, I wish I had a testimony like yours. Because my story is so boring. I received Christ as a child, and I've just kind of stayed with God ever since. And I remember his reaction. He turned to me and bored holes in my head with his eyes. And he said, don't you ever say that. He said, do you know how many people I hurt along the way? Do you know the swath of damage that I did to people around me, people who loved me? He said, I think God is way more glorified when he gets a hold of someone's life early and saves them from all that damage that they're capable of. And he just keeps with them and helps them to be faithful through the whole thing. He said, God is glorified in that. Don't you ever want my story? That's always stuck with me. I do have a story to tell. Plus, you're going to come across people who can't relate to that robbed a liquor store kind of story. They might have grown up in a church and they have a similar experience to you. And they relate more to your story than that dramatic story. So share your faith story. This is something that Steve is working on. And Steve, I'm so inspired by you, man. I just love what you're doing in this church. Steve is trying to collect stories because he wants people to share their stories, their faith journey. And it doesn't have to be the rob the liquor store kind of story. I want to hear your story. And it's a blessing to the rest of the church to hear your story. Please consider sharing your story as a service, as a blessing, as an act of worship. Share your story. Please talk to Steve afterwards. I'd love to see the calendar filled up with all kinds of people sharing their stories about how they came to Christ. Amen? Sometimes we overcomplicate things. And we think that in order to share our faith story, we also have to have the four spiritual laws memorized, and we have to about have 100 verses from the Bible memorized, and we have to be able to talk eloquently about the Trinity and predestination and whatever other items come out. And really, the message in the early church was simple. Repent and believe. If we want to put that in real today terms, it'd be turn and walk. Turn from the world, walk towards God. Turn and walk. That's the simple gospel message, is it not? More page flipping. You're going to find out, does this pastor know what he's talking about? Is he reading the same Bible? Turn and walk. That's basically the essence of the gospel. I'm passionate about this whole idea. This is the gospel message summed up in 9 words. There's forgiveness of sins for all who repent. And like I said, that's all you need to know. If that's all you know, you have the gospel message in the palm of your hand. You are, church, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Nanaimo needs you. Imagine if every person in Nanaimo Alliance considered themselves to be a faith trainer. Just think about that for a minute. And every person decided, I'm going to faith train at least one other person. Imagine the impact, not only on the person they're training, it also affects the person who's doing the training. It stretches their faith. It pushes them. We would see more people saved. We'd see stronger relationships. Fewer lessons would be learned the hard way as good mentoring happens. And we'd have a more mature church. In short, we would have a revolution. We would have an awakening. We would have revival. Repent and believe. Turn and walk. Everyone a faith trainer. Jesus said, make relationships intentional. You already know people. I believe that God has placed you where you are for a reason. The neighborhood you live in, there's a reason for that. The people that you work with, you're there for a reason. The people you're related to, you're there for a reason. God placed you as a faith trainer. And you have influence over a large group of people that I can't reach. And God's gifted you in a way that I can't reach them, but you can. One final thing, and this was, I had already had this message all done. It's all neat and tidy. And then God started messing with it more. And I read a verse this week that just kind of hit me in the face. We often talk about, you know, when we get into heaven, we're going to get this crown and jewels and all that good stuff, right? We sing about these things. I've often wondered, what is that? You know, we're all going to walk around with a crown with jewels? What do the jewels represent? I don't understand this whole concept. And then I came across something that Paul said that fit very well with this message. Watch this. For he said, for what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? What is it? Is it verses memorized? Is it how many times we manage to go to church? How many times we serve people? Is it that? Is it just activity? Watch this. Is it not you? Indeed, you, and he's talking to the church, you are our glory and joy. These are the people that God used Paul to train in the faith, to build them up. He said when he gets to heaven, this is his crown. All the people that are there that he trained in the faith, that he moved maybe 1 inch, maybe a foot, maybe 5 feet. That's his crown. How different would it be for us as a church to consider that every person we mentor is part of our reward, and we will stand there before our Lord Jesus, and we'll be able to look at all the Sunday school kids we taught, or all the people that we mentored, the times that we shared our faith, and we could say, this is my crown. This is my glory. Let's pray. Father, I know that there are a lot of people in this room who know you. And they know about the Great Commission. And they know that you've called them to train others in their faith. But Lord, maybe they're scared, Maybe they're intimidated. Maybe they think this is for other people and not them. And yet you've placed them as missionaries where they're at. Faith trainers. Lord, I know when you look at us, you see us as your people with faith trainer on the back of each one of us. Lord, may we as a church find ways, look for ways to be faith trainers, to be mentors, to share our faith journey with people. And Lord, I pray that we as a church would be used by you to reach the lost and encourage those who have already been found. That the Great Commission would not just be words on paper, but it'd be a way of life for us, for every one of us, everyone a faith trainer. Lord, open our eyes to see the possibilities. May we be so secure in your love that we would not be fearful of any obstacle. We love you, God. You are everything to us. We lay our lives before you. We confess before you, God, that there have been times where we have not placed everything before you. Maybe work has become more important. Other things become more important. Lord, use our time, use our resources, use our energy to be faith trainers. We ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.